Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We got confirmed tonight in about a half an hour. Our buddy Dave Pullen will join us here in a few moments. We have Brooke Henderson in the last hour. And you asked her about, you know, having her older sister on a bag. I'm curious how you guys feel about that. You're both the youngest boys. You got two older brothers. You, like, I can just picture the two of you getting in fights with one of your brothers on, like, a fairway.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the king daddy topper. I already know that my brother Ryan and my other brother Donnie, there would come a situation where they'd just drop the bag and walk away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they would say, oh, you're... One of my buddies played in the U.S. Open at Pinehurst, and his brother was caddying for him. And the player was so pissed off at himself. On the first hole, he told his brother who was caddying, I'm raking the bunker. And the caddy's like, you can't be raking the bunker. We're at the U.S. Open. And he was so pissed, he just said, just get away from me. I'm raking. Like, that would just be an explosion.
Oh, yeah. I think it I mean, it's a testament, obviously, to their bond and their ability to keep things on the rails, because you start bringing family members into the profession. You know, you see it in hockey all the time. You see brothers on the same team. You see brothers coaching against each other.
And, Hayes, it would only be one little comment. Like, if the sister said the putt breaks this way and Brooke said, no, it doesn't, and she missed it, and then the sister said, told you so, like that with two guys – that would turn into a fist fight on the green.
It is. You're too close to the situation because you've had interactions your whole life that have, you know, yelling, swearing, physical push, wrestling, all of that type of stuff. Can you imagine if that all just
I don't
came
know
to
if
a head?
Two dudes could do it. I don't know if two dudes could do it.
The Johnson brothers do it. I mean, but they're the most laid back people on earth. They're not normal the way that they're wired. But yeah, thanks again to Brooke. And, you know, the Leafs, they're coming off a win last night. They play New York tomorrow. I was detailing their schedule in the last hour. Like, it is really wild how much they have home ice here over the next month. You know, they don't play another road game until February 10th. And then after that, until the 19th, they get the All-Star break coming up. They got a bye week coming up. And with Samsonov playing so well last night, I'm curious, Noodles, you can answer this. And oh, I'm curious your take on this, and Pooley as well when he joins us. Like, he's played so well. That's three in a row. I couldn't get a read on how people think it's going to play out tomorrow. I didn't see Keith make an announcement on it, unless I missed it. But I saw some people suggest it would be Samsonov tomorrow. Others suggested it would be Murray tomorrow. But Samsonov, like, if he's going to be the true number one, and I think it's way too premature to say that he is just because he's playing well right now. But he's got to prove that on the road it's not going to be a hiccup, right?
Right. Like,
to be a true number one, and especially in the playoffs, like, you got to go on the road. Look at the splits. Like, he's got an .889 save percentage.
What are you getting at, though, but big picture? Do you want to know, Hayes, like, what does he have to do for him to get to a point where it's like, this is our guy? Like,
I think the answer is he's got to win on the road and play better on the road. But he's got to get starts on the road.
I think this is a platoon situation. To me, if you're looking at the next four games, whoever they believe is the number one at the time starts against Boston. Everything else is, say, we're going to, I think they'll alternate. I think they'll get opportunity. Both of them need to play because of the soft schedule as far as the amount of games and the bye week and the All-Star break. But Boston is circled on the schedule for me. I know you've got Washington. I know Ottawa's always a good, you know, interprovincial battle, all of that type of stuff. Boston is the one you circle. Whoever starts that game.
Do you mean who's your number one at that current moment?
At that current moment, because at that time, Sheldon Keefe will go, I'm going with whoever I believe will give me the best opportunity to win this game against a team that is, you know, at the top of the league. And so that's going to be my telltale. I think they'll work back and forth. I think Matt Murray's going to play a game or two here, but it's the Boston
Matt Murray
game.
Matt Murray would have to be off his ass to I think, get to a point where he's not the guy that, or he is the guy that Keith picks. I just think Samsonov's taking a bit of a stranglehold on this thing as of right now.
And you're saying next Wednesday, right, Noodles?
Right.
You're saying next Wednesday, Boston's in town before the All-Star break and the bye. You think whoever gets that start, that's a telling sign from Keefe.
Well, also, let's keep in mind, it wasn't that long ago that Samsonov was in Washington and had a rough go. And, you know, we were going, what the hell's wrong with the Leaf goaltenders, both of them. So I'm not handing the crease to either one of them on a, hey, you're the one and that's it. This is a platoon system. Neither one of them are clear-cut ones at this juncture. But this is a healthy battle. I said this last night and I wholeheartedly believe it. What you want is two goaltenders that are healthy, that want the net, that want to play. Because what that does, that's good for the team. Because that's a healthy inter-competition. And down the stretch, you hope that one goaltender separates himself and you go, you got to go with this guy. He's just been too consistent. Let's go back and look at the body of work over not just a week. Let's look at the last month and tell me who should have it clearly, one guy or the other. I would say neither.
I think it's difficult to determine it. And again, I think the reason why Samsonov can't make that claim is because his road stats just have been so poor. Like he's had so many more starts at home, but the guy has not lost in regulation at home. Like Joe from the Bridge just posted it up on TV. Let's see, 13-0-2. 13-0-1. Yeah, I mean, the guy's stats are, like, at home, it's arguably the best in the league. It's Linus Ullmark levels. He's 13-0-1, 164 goals against, 939 save percentage at home. Yeah. Like, that's, you can't ask for anything better than that. And on the road, he's got seven starts, which is half the amount. And he's got an 889 save percentage. That's a significant drop-off.
It's massive, but it shows
Finkel and Einhorn.
It really is.
But both, I mean, you look at it, it should be easier to play at home. You get, you know, nice home starts against. I would have to go back, and there are stats that you could look at, quality of competition too.
Right,
he started against
important.
the top teams, but he hasn't played enough to, you know, he's played 22 games, I believe, and I have to look at it. I don't have it in front of me, but they both have split. And so there was a time where Matt Murray was cooking. You're like, okay, you know, this is it. It's
absolutely
done. So
absolutely.
I still think this is a healthy competition, which is good.
All right, let's bring in Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Poulin, have you changed your stance at all on this Leaf goalie duo in terms of them just being that, you know, a combo kind of duo that is going to go back and forth? Or are you moving towards one guy kind of being the standalone number one?
No, I think I'm still with the split, guys. I think I'm still with the combo and simple solution, get home ice and ride Samsonov. that's just a simple way to look at it. No, I think this was the intention. You know, both had their questions coming in, and we had seen Murray play very well through stretches in Ottawa, but not be able to sustain it. And I would say the same thing has happened here. You know, at times he looks like a world beater, and at times it's like, okay, it's a good thing we have two ready. But I think this was the original intent, and actually I'm fine with it how it's playing out right now. Now, as you get deeper and deeper, you'd love to settle on one, but if you were to start the playoffs tomorrow, you'd say, okay, we open up at home and we got a guy that's ready to roll and let's go. There's something uniquely unorthodox about Samsonov and the way he stops pucks and the way he, you know, there's almost a little of Dominik Hasek, isn't there, Jamie? Like the rollover and the, you know, the upside down and the leg up, but he gets the job done. And he's been good for them. And he's still, you know, at 25 years old, is still a developing guy. But the home and away thing, I never really understood. I guess maybe more so for a goalie with visuals and sight lines, but the Toronto building is new to him too. And it's not like they practice there every day. We were talking about this morning here in Montreal because Montreal has now moved their game day skate to the game arena, which I really like
Thank
as a
God.
Player. Yeah. No kidding. You used to go out to Brossard, you know, it was a half an hour, 35-minute ride out to Brossard for the morning skate. They'd be on the ice 10 minutes. But I just think as a player, what is the real home ice advantage if you don't even ever practice in there and you don't skate there the morning of games? You're coming in as cold as the other team is. In fact, they skated there in the morning, and you didn't. And so, you know, I think with him it's a little unusual, and maybe that changes up as he gets more and more comfortable. But he's been good, and he should have the net right now. He should have the ability to run with it, and he is getting it.
Pulley, what do you think of the situation? Brian brought it up in the first hour. Just the way the league is set up, it's like the Leafs basically know what they're going to be doing come playoff time. They can't make a trade, and just the state of where they're at and what you think about it.
Well, they can make a trade. They can clearly make a trade. They don't want to trade some of the assets they have. You know, you can say, I love that I can't make a trade because, you know, you look at teams and you look at Winnipeg, which rolled through here and actually were handled by both Montreal and Toronto, but that's a good hockey team. Four of their defensemen were trades. And you can make a trade, but you have to give up assets that you don't want to give up. And, you know, I'm in Montreal right now with Boston here tonight, and they're just raving about Hampus Lindholm, guys. Like, people didn't realize how big he is. He's like 6'3", 220.
Yeah, but why is Boston the only team that figured, like, does Boston get him? It's just like, what?
Well, because they made the trade last year. It didn't work out last year for them in terms of going all the way. He was a UFA. Oh, they had to extend him, so they had to have the room to extend him. And they gave up some draft picks in a former first-round draft pick, a defenseman at Viking kid. So they gave up some things to get him, but that's the same old thing. I mean, you can't make trades. You can make trades. You can make trades. But they're going to ask for Matthew Knies back, and you're going to say, well, I don't want to give him up. Well, don't say you can't make a trade. You can make a trade, but you don't want to give up part of the future. And I think, you know, the interesting conversation I had with someone from Boston was them pushing all in this year and making another big move before the trade deadline. And I was asked, like, where would you make it? In what position? I said, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I'd even mess with that lineup right now. And I'm actually looking forward, guys, to seeing what a 5-loss team in late January looks like. But if you look at the makeup of teams, there has to be a trade component in there, oh. There has to be. Because you can't time the draft and development. And you know, and even looking at the makeup of Boston, Patrice Bergeron was drafted in 2003. Krejci in 2004. Marchand in 2006. And 20 years ago, guys. And, you know, you have to have longevity and so many things go your way. But in order to be able to do this, you have to have the trade component. You have to be able to do it all. And other teams can do it, and you watch it happen. And so I think the popular sentiment is, well, we're cap restricted, we can't do it. You just don't want to give up who other teams are asking for.
With Dave Poulin, William Nylander, I mean, he was phenomenal again last night, and he's putting up career numbers. It would be a shock now if he didn't score 40. It's more likely he scores, I think, 45 than, you know, 37, 38, the way he's rocking. He's obviously always been a very talented player. Last year he unlocked a lot in terms of regular season production. But is there anything else that has changed for him in your eyes, Pooley, that has unlocked another level? Like, what has happened this year that has led to William Nylander being a guy who, you know, you could argue has been a top 20 player in the league this season?
I would agree with that for sure. And I would say, is it as simple as being 26 years old? And once you get, you know, the trappings of life and your life is pretty good and you've made substantial money and you want something else out of yourself. Like, when we look back at that draft, our Swedish scout, Tommy Bergman, thought he had a chance to be the most talented player in that draft. Now, you know, let's be honest. No one knew what Leon Draisaitl was at that point. But if you look at the players taken before him, that would have been Ekblad 1, Reinhardt 2, then Leon, then Sam Bennett would have been in there.
Yep.
Yeah, Michael Del Cole would have been in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden Fleury was taken right before him. So he was more talented in that group other than Leon Draisaitl. He was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the question there was Nikolai Ehlers, who was taken right after him. That was the back and forth we had. But the talent has always been there. I think the consistency is there much more often. And there's just that little bit more of drive, a little bit more of desire. And maybe that is, guys, maybe that is being 26 years old and just saying, you know what, I got a little more in the engine here. The tell for me is when you're late in an overtime in a late shift and you can blow by everybody and score the game-winning goal. You know, you just said, had that been a back check, would that pace have been the exact same as the offensive rush was? Yeah, I don't know. And I'm not sure you know you have that, you know, before you're 26 years old. And he knows he has it now, guys, and he is confident, and it's fun to watch.
Pooley, when you look at the Leafs, you know, and just even through the lens of just from the outside, we've talked about trades, we talk about needs. if you add one thing, is it just clearly like add to the top six? Is it defensive depth, or you know what would be if you had a wish list, one situation?
For me, for the Leafs, it would be defense, and it would be a different type of defender. I think Connor Timmins has done a nice job coming in and giving them some depth, but I think, Jamie, as good as they are, can they balance out a little bit more if they get into a different type of series? And it's hard to predict who they're going to match up against, you know, after the first round, which it looks like Tampa Bay. You don't know who's coming out of the Metro. So I'm talking about the conversation that management would have either maybe with themselves or maybe just in a very, very small group, because you wouldn't want to get too far ahead of yourself. But what if we run into blank in the third round and it's a really physical series? Do you have that player on defense who can help in front of the net? And, you know, and I think of what Montreal did when they went to the finals and they just had those four big defensemen pounding guys in front of Carey Price. So I think it would be to change your team a little bit in a specific series, Jamie, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like change what you can do, play a really different type of series other than, you know, maybe what Liljegren and Sandin have brought you with their puck movement. Their puck transporting has been so good. But how would you change if you had to handle, I don't know, if you had to handle a Jamie Benn in front of the net, that type of thing.
With Dave Poulin. So this season, Matthew Tkachuk has not missed a beat. He's been outstanding down in Florida. Johnny Gaudreau has not put up the same production. I thought he was great last night.
Yeah, he was.
But if the Flames could have one of those guys back for the rest of this year, like which piece do you think they miss more at their height, playing the best they possibly can? Is it Gaudreau or would it be Tkachuk?
I think it's Matthew. For exactly what I just talked about, those different types of games. Because I think Huberto brings you more of what Gaudreau brings you in terms of a certain type of game. But when the game changes and you're playing somebody out there that you really don't like, I'd love to wheel Matthew Tkachuk out there every
David,
third shift.
You notice that like we're talking about Huberto's lack of production. There's obviously no Gaudreau and no Tkachuk there, but I haven't heard Elias Lindholm's name that much either.
Oh, like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because there were times with that line where you thought he was driving those two guys.
Yeah. I think they all had 100 points last year.
Well, they did. They had 300. They had actually 300 on the nose for points. Yeah. Lindholm had 40 plus, I believe. But
Noodles, I never see him.
The difference was last year, the chemistry between Gaudreau and Lindholm. Lindholm's a shooter, and he's got a really good shot. So you were hoping that the chemistry between Huberto and Lindholm would be there. It hasn't been. I mean, Gaudreau put a couple. He put the one on a tee last night for Laine through the seam. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what Laine, I think, has been hoping for, you know, since he's coming back from injury and all that. Lindholm had that with Gaudreau. He doesn't have that with Huberto.
The way Huberto is playing, Jamie, I don't know who has that with Huberto right now. He is just not getting it done, and it's not even close, to be perfectly honest with you.
A lot of his magic was with Barkovo, and you know, and that's a pretty special player. But Lindholm has really fallen off, and more so on the goals front. You know, his points are okay, but on the goals front, man, he is really, really dropped off.
Yeah. What's he going to say, David? Is he going to say, oh, I just don't have any magic here in Calgary and throw his arms up in the air? He better find something because it's getting into February now. Time's up.
Yeah, he's got 14 goals and 42 points in 46 games. But like he was.
Yeah, so the points are respectable.
They're respectable, but it's. Yeah, the goals.
He had 115 points, didn't he, last year? Like, a drop-off was inevitable. But if he ends up with 70 points.
I'm just, Dogalytics. Dogalytics is my analytics, and he was an impact in the game.
Yeah,
like,
he was.
He's no impact. Like he was on the ice last year, and he was playing with Barkov. He was making plays to positively impact the game for the Florida Panthers. He's just not doing that on a consistent basis.
Well, he was an 82-point guy, so he's a point-of-game guy, but he had 42 last year. It was the other two that were around him that had 100 and, you know, I think Gaudreau was 115, right? And and Matthew was 105 or something. But that's the bottom line is it's who you play with, too. We bring it back to Toronto. Take a look at John Tavares and playing with Nylander. Like that little switch last night, not a lot was made about it, right?
Yeah.
I like that little switch, and I like, You know, that we were asked that question on the quiz last week, and I said, no, I wouldn't do it. But within a game, he did it within a game because it wasn't working in the first period. And I think that little it changed the dynamics of the way those two guys are. And, you know, I think you just continue doing it. You know, is Nylander playing with Matthews? Yeah, tonight he is. Is he playing with Tavares? Yeah, tomorrow night he is. Or maybe in the second period he is. Because they create different looks. They just do. And you know, when they do it, it seems to give them that little jump start. But Willie in that second period last night, guys, just a dominant, dominant player.
Yeah, and Sheldon Keefe after the game was pumping the tires of Tavares, saying he thought it was the second was the best period he's played all year.
I thought he looked good.
Is it fair to say, though, with that transaction, that's I love giving Sheldon Keefe his flowers. I think he's a good guy. He's a good coach. But is it like, can you call that in-game management when you make that one switch? Although he did switch up some D pairings too that worked out for him. But
I think that's okay. Fair. I think that's fair. I do. You know, he's looking at it and he goes in after the period. Now he would also have enough conversations with his assistants where that would have been conversed at some point, and he'd say, "Look, remind me when we're in a game that I have that option." And so walking down the hallway after that first period, you know, somebody in his ear might be Carberry or somebody in his ear and saying, "Hey, what about that little thing we talked about?"
Well, Jonas, you know, might do that
2 weeks ago.
Jonas and his cronies.
Yeah, I think he does have access.
He goes in and reads his social media between periods, and then he decides to do it.
That's right. Yeah. The Twitter analytics, man, it drives a lot of the decisions
the
down there.
The dog analytics. That's what we're going with here. Absolutely.
Yeah. So. Listen, don't look now, but Callie Yarncroke's got 11 on the season. You know, and he's found a little role there. I don't know if it lasts forever, but he's looked pretty
Yarncroke,
good.
Coming up, Yarncroke came up as an offensive player. I mean, coming up through the system, he was a second round pick, but he was a guy a lot of people liked coming up through the Swedish system. I mean, he really was, you know, he was a guy who didn't achieve offensively at the highest level what people thought he was going to, but he was viewed as an offensive player who was very capable defensively. So he's a smart player. We know that. And he's fully capable defensively. I think ideally, if you could plug somebody in on those top two lines and use him as third line, then you'd have that much more depth, him playing with David Camp.
I agree. I think if they could get another top six, you push him down, that adds to your depth. Because ultimately, what he's been really smart, but he's getting the bunting. You're getting, you know, the best of, you're getting an opportunity to play with two really top-notch players. Mm-hmm. And he's taking advantage of it. So, you know, why not do that? Because, you know, if he slides down to the third line, Pierre Engvall's not making that pass to him, you know, through the seam or over top. You know what I mean?
That's not happening.
So he's taking full advantage of his situation. So good on him.
Pick up the shrapnel, for sure.
Pooley, your buddy.
Do that, too.
Mm-hmm. Pooley, your buddy's out in Van now, his first games tonight. You talk about often the coach bump. Like, how does he say to these guys, look, guys, you're mowing through coaches here. Now it's on you, and this better be for real.
Well, you've had conversations in person with Talk, and first of all, he's going to do it really close, so. and he's going to grab you in the stick room, and he's going to get really close to you, and he's going to say it just like you said it. Just right now, but he's going to be about 1 inch away from your face, and you might get a little tremor at some point. And he might have a stick in his hand when he says it. He's going to be intense. You know that. He'll bring an intensity level, and I'm looking forward to seeing him coach a better offensive team because, you know, with what he has coached in his past, he's never had the offensive guns. He's always coached a good system and a hard team to play against, even when they weren't a very good team. They're always hard to play against. And if he can bring a little bit of that element, but he's going to challenge some of these guys, in a way that they have not been challenged. And it'll be face-to-face, close in person, in close quarters. And he's still a pretty intimidating guy.
Yeah, I guess it's the unofficial second half, you know, starting for Vancouver. And I don't see how they possibly get back in the mix. But I think if you're talking, you're probably hoping it just doesn't get worse. You know, you got to improve something between now and the end of the year.
It'll be interesting to see, too, Brian, what changes they make. Like, how aggressive are they going to be? Are they really going to try and and sell and hold money and like really be aggressive and clean it out for next year? Or are they going to see what he can do with what he has there?
We'll find out starting tonight. It should be a fun one at the Bell Center tonight as well. So enjoy that, Pooley, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the hockey.
Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory. Arriving daily, it's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, I wouldn't put anything past that market where, you know, if Taka does what Boudreaux did when he got there last year, runs off 5 wins in a row, you know, that I could see the owner being like, hey, maybe we could backdoor our way in here still. You know,
well,
they're like right now, they are 16 points out of the playoffs. Like, it's not even close.
I think if Mike Johnson, who generally keeps track of that stuff, and he has like a drop dead date or points that you're not getting in, he would say you are high if you think you're getting in.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to leapfrog too many teams. That's the problem.
I think.
Like, you know, but the one thing I was looking at is, now you start playing a lot of interdivision games. So, you know, every night's a four-point game. The one thing I would circle, I don't know if you guys track, like you just go on NHL.com and take a look. Their penalty kill is 65%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, goaltending's a big part of that. Thatcher, you take a starting goaltender, especially a guy like Demko, out of that lineup, like you're just, now you got no chance. You know, Martin and Colin Delia are nice guys and good, you know, good goaltenders. They're not an elite guy like that. But their penalty kill is all-time dreadful. That's mm-hmm. one thing I would circle and say, like, we need to take some pride on this. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, listen, they are within striking distance of dead last if they play their cards right. I don't think they can get there, but they're only 8 points up on Anaheim and Columbus.
Dude, like, they're 10 points behind St. Louis, and St. Louis is out of the picture right now.
Oh, they're out. The playoffs is done. It's just what I can't reason with is why bring Tocchet in now?
Like, no kidding.
Check this thing, bring in someone, destroy it, demolish it, try to get Bedard, and then start next year. I don't know.
You couldn't leave Bruce like that.
No, exactly. You know, so relieve him.
And still, what about Horvat, though? It's like, they're going to deal Horvat, and then for the next 5 years, they're going to say, man, where do we find a number two centerman to play behind Pettersson? It's just, it's one thing after the other.
Yeah, it's a mess. It is. Confirm or deny is coming up. We got Mike Johnson still to come later this afternoon. We'll get into the Dak Prescott versus the Cowboys Twitter account and Patrick Reed versus Roy McIlroy. If you missed that, we got some details. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a signal.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, I can confirm that Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the 2023 NX250 Signature Package from just $328 biweekly for 39 months. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. All right, we know the way this works. A statement is made. We confirm it or we deny it. It's very simple.
Yep.
Beginning with a William Nylander take. Confirm or deny. William Nylander should be considered an all-star game snub.
Yes, I've been an all-star game snub. Stupid formats, different formats, European, North American. And you're basically looking around saying, that guy's going to the all-star game no matter what, so is that guy possibly, and I'm just not going. I think it's a joke. I think I've already told you, but he is definitely a snub. Not that it's something he's got bigger fish to fry looking ahead, bigger things to do. But it's like you got to look at yourself sometime. And then the 1 year I didn't think I was going to be an all-star game, or like an all-star, you go to the all-star game. It's all a mess. And it is a snub, though. It's confirmed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm confirming. He's about one of five guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did Kyle Connor make it? I don't think Kyle Connor.
I don't believe he did make it. No.
Kyle Connor's got 20. He's got 57 points, right?
Who the hell's making it from the Jets?
I think Hellebuck was going in Morrissey, isn't he? I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, it's those two. But I think there's five guys and William Nylander's in there.
Yeah. You know, it's a confirm for me as well. Listen, the Leafs are, what are they, third in the league? He's leading them in points, tied with Marner, and he's leading them in goals. He's got 26 goals and 56 points. I mean, that's an all-star all day, and it's
all
more
day.
So because other guys have to go for other teams. And Connor's one. Zach Hyman is in the same boat. He should be going to his first all-star game. Him and Nylander should be going. And I'm sure you could go down a list and find different guys.
Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
Not sure Mikko Rantanen's going, unless he got voted in. He might have.
I think he did get voted in.
He might have got voted in.
Got 30 goals.
Yeah, he's. I think he's top five or six in points. I mean, so this is what happened. There are five or six teams in this league that could have three or four guys. That probably should have three or four guys. At least right. One of them. And William Nylander's on the outside looking in.
Dude, it's all nonsense. Get a committee together. I would happily volunteer my services to make the All-Star game better, because it's a joke and everyone thinks it's a joke. And if you don't think that, then you're just turning a blind eye to it. Sorry.
All right, confirm or deny, Cali Yarncroak has locked in a top six role with the Leafs this year.
Deny.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Because if they want, like I, and that's no disrespect on him, it's more about what I believe they should be doing at the deadline. Mm-hmm. And that's adding to that top six, which would push him down to the third line, which would be, he'd be a lot more valuable there. He's a perfect fit. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a good fit in the top six, but I think they should be looking for, if Bunting is locked in on that top line with Matthews and we'll call it either Nylander or Marner, then they should be looking for that second left side to play with Tavares and Nylander.
But the one question I have is, Matty Nye, the wrist shot guy, that guy?
Matthew Nye's?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be ready to step into the NHL and play, though. I mean, I
Dude,
think
when they want him to step into the NHL and play last year?
Yeah, well, they wanted to offer him a deal. What they were willing to guarantee him, I'm not convinced. I think you can't guarantee a kid that he's playing and that he's playing in the top six. Like, you're not doing that. There's no way. I think they'd give him an opportunity. If he played himself into that role and showed up and had the moxie, they'd give it a shot.
He's coming out of college regardless, right? Like, he's done so.
That's the belief. I mean, I thought he'd come out last year. He didn't. I guess there's a chance he could go back. I think he's only a sophomore this year. So I believe he still could go back, but I don't think he will.
After this year.
No, I think he'll take a contract and he'll come out. I'm going to confirm it because I don't know if that big shooter is out there to the point where you can lock him up, where you can acquire that player. And I'm curious how you guys would feel about the idea of bringing in someone of significance, someone that has more firepower than Yarncroak, and actually using that player on the third line to spread your wealth out. Like, would that make sense if, you know, you hear names like Horvat, who I don't think they're getting, but Timo Meier. Like, does Meier immediately play in the top six, or can you move someone else?
Yes, he would. And it's difficult to be excited about any kind of transaction, Hayes, because of what you've gotten in the past. It's like you go and get Foligno, which I thought that was the guy that I would have went and got.
Yep.
It's like he's tough, and then look, it's what
he got hurt and he couldn't play. Yeah.
He got hurt and he literally could not play. So it's like, what other transaction at the deadline have they made where it's like, do that again? It's like, I'm not going to get too excited and say, oh, go and do this and go and do that. There's nothing really in the past that you can look to and say, remember the job that guy did when he came in?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your comparable? Like, what do you got? I don't know what it would be.
I think there's somebody we're not looking at, whether it's a Tyler Bertuzzi or something. And I know, like, I'd have to look at his injury history, all of that. I believe he's unrestricted or, you know, coming up. But, like, somebody like that. Like, if we're just going through it here in the 5 minutes, you know, Kyle and his staff have gone through it for months.
They got a list.
But my whole thing is
they got a list.
They do have a list, and they should have a list. But I keep coming back to, you want to match up against Boston, you want to match up against Tampa, like, do the whiteboards. And Taylor Hall's a Hart Trophy winner. He's on the third line.
Exactly.
Like, you got to go get players. Like, because to me, that team last night, if they don't do anything, they're a very good team. But I think there are teams that could beat them. And you're trying to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, of course. No, I'll grant you that. But I will say, like, the top six is predicated on the four guys doing what they're doing. Like, if you can add a fifth, that'd be great. you know, obviously, you know, go out and grab it. The rich can get richer. But like Boston, it's more from my standpoint about the depth. Like Pasternak has been phenomenal. Bergeron, right. Marchand's great. Krejci's very good still. I don't think he is what he was 10 years ago. But, you know, like DeBrusk, when he was healthy, was playing up there. You got Charlie Coyle. You've got
Charlie
Taylor
Coyle's
Hall.
The third-line center.
But that's my
point. I believe
he's
got 12 goals. Like,
yeah,
he's,
exactly. You know, but Charlie Coyle is not the equivalent of, you know, Patrick Kane or Timo Meier or, you know, what they already would have in terms of the big four up front here. But that's going to be the topic of discussion between now
but
and March.
But it's a massive drop-off. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
The top four, there's a massive drop-off.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, then, you know, if you're going to bring in a piece that can be impactful, that can drive a line, you know, are you going to load everything up in the top six and then you know you're going to have a weakness in the bottom six, or do you spread any wealth out? I mean,
no, I get what you're saying. Yep.
I think that's worthy of a conversation. I don't know if it's going to play out that way.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Confirm or deny, Josh Allen will win a Super Bowl with the Bills at some point in his career.
100% confirm. 100% confirm. You don't, huh?
I'm just listening to you. I'm curious how you
you gave
that.
The Brooke Henderson right there. You just gave the Brooke Henderson.
That was a little bit of a Brooke.
I just don't think that he is. It's already happened once in that organization with Jim Kelly at the helm, where they went to four Super Bowls and could not get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I just think when you got a guy that's that talented, they'll continue to try to work with him, and he'll do his thing, and they'll provide weapons, and who knows what can happen and what kind of changes, I mean, are going to happen for that organization. But I just think he's that quality of a player and person, and I think he gets it done.
I hope he does, but here's where I think you're leaning towards, Hayes. Let me guess for you, and then I'll just say, I'm going to say I hope confirm. I hope
okay.
So. But I think you're going
to hang on a sec, Noodles. You have to say confirm or deny.
It's a hopeful confirm.
I'm a hopeful confirm. That's
okay.
What I'm going to say because I want that.
That's a new element.
Here's what I'm going to say why Brian Hayes is going to say deny. Mahomes, Burrows, Trevor Lawrence coming. Who else did we name yesterday?
Well, in the AFC, you've got Herbert, if you want to believe in that, possibly Lamar.
Right. So I think you might have a four-pack of young, good quarterbacks that you believe might be on that trajectory as well.
It's the same quarterback in the same organization that Al's brother went on national TV and said he doesn't think anyone's beating this Bills wagon this year.
Right.
Bit of an outrageous comment from Al's brother, but it's still the same team.
Yeah, I'm going to surprise you, Noodles. I'm actually going to confirm this because I think there's been some Josh Allen, you know, slander the last 48 hours. He deserved to be criticized for his play on Sunday. He deserved more criticism throughout the season for how nonchalant he was with the football. He was very cavalier this season. There were way too many times he'd throw a bad ball and you knew it was getting picked, or a fumble that went the other way.
Yeah,
that's
we thought that was early career Josh Allen, but it seems to be rearing its ugly head.
And that's going to have to change. But I think like he is so supremely talented, and I believe he's got an it factor. My concern is not as much Allen as it is the Bills and their history, and, you know, can they find a way to make it work and get the pieces up there? And then on top of it, what you detailed, at some point you got to go through Mahomes, you got to go through Burrow. I think Lawrence and the Jags are coming. It's not going to be easy.
Well,
it's not. But if you're giving me 15 years, which is what I think is going to happen, I think he plays a long time in Buffalo, I think at one of those points they break through and win.
You're right. And that's why I put I hope.
Yes.
Where are you guys at with Stephon Diggs, like – shaking his head and all, like I didn't care for the attitude.
Garbage,
personally.
Man. Garbage.
I didn't like it.
I would have been at his doorstep the next day.
I didn't like it.
I don't think it was a great look that, you know, you're the happiest guy in the world when you're catching touchdowns and winning, and then you lose a big ball game and it's Allen's fault or it's the O-line's fault. He's frustrated. I thought Allen handled it really well, though. He said, listen, we're all frustrated. We're trying to win. We didn't win. It happens. We're boys. We're fine. And they got to be on the right page because Diggs is a superstar, and Allen needs him. But Diggs needs Allen.
Yeah, that's
you know,
what
it
I
goes,
was saying.
It's two-way like, street.
Watching that game, there was some body language, one where I think Allen underthrew him, and Diggs was like saying, up here, like I want it up here. Like,
yes.
Yeah, like
that can't happen.
You don't need to show up stuff like that. Like, no. I get it. There's competing, and there's, you know – I thought that within the game, that kind of crossed the line.
Because
that, to me, they've got to be on the same page. Allen knows if he messed up, if he underthrew him, if he missed him. Like, you don't need to point that out to him.
Right. And that's precisely what he was doing in a very animated fashion.
Exactly. Showing him up.
Confirm or deny, Novak Djokovic will win at least three Grand Slams in 2023.
In 2023, at least three?
Yes. I'll go first. I'm going to confirm it. Nadal, I think, is almost done. Now, I know at the French Open on clay, he may still come alive, but he's old. He's beaten up. These young guys, you're waiting for them to kind of stay with it and take that next step. I don't think they're there yet, man. I think they can get there in individual moments, but consistently, like, look at the Aussie Open right now. Like, Djokovic, I think he's going to cruise, you know. And
dude, who's to say he doesn't just cruise every one of them this year? Why
it wouldn't
not
shock
just be
me?
Yeah, I'm going to also confirm it. Nadal is getting a bit of a skullet, and he's getting up there in age, right?
Yes.
No argument there.
Yes.
And there's other up-and-comers. Felix, your boy Felix, is an up-and-comer that could maybe take him on and challenge him. But who knows if that happens. Maybe this is just his year. Maybe his kind of last gasp, too, where he says, I'm going to win them all this year, and then maybe I might have a decline next year.
Right.
But maybe this is his year, man.
I think he loves the Australian Open. He loves Wimbledon. He loves the U.S. Open. I think he probably gets all three. You know, and if he doesn't, I wouldn't put it past him picking one up at the French Open.
Yeah.
I think he's just a clear-cut best guy going. And there's a lot of other really quality young players and all that, but, you know, it feels like Djokovic, it's his world, and everyone else is chasing it. Confirm or deny, reports, this is a bit of a goofy one, admittedly, but I like it. I think you guys can take it seriously. Reports of a verbal and or physical altercation between a PGA Tour player and a LIV Tour player will take place at the Masters.
Physical or verbal?
Physical?
Either or. You will hear reports will come out. Rory and Patrick Reed were nose to nose snapping in the Butler cabin. Something's coming up at Augusta National when they all converge.
I 100% deny that. I think my main man, Fred Ridley.
Yeah, he's
Fred
the guy now.
Ridley will address the group and say, any kind of monkey business or goings on out there is not going to be tolerated from Augusta National. And Fred Ridley will deliver that message himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be an altercation. I can't define it what it will be. You know what I mean? Like, it might just
They literally have to set the groupings. They can't put them together. They all hate each other.
But they can't control it, though. Once you get to Saturday and Sunday, man, if it lines up, it lines up. And
dude, like this, I was playing golf down in Georgia, and apparently one of the guys from LIV Tour wasn't allowed to wear, he was a member at the course, and the LIV Tour hat, not flying at the course. Zillions of tour players, and just take the live stuff.
They
and
hate
take
each
it
other.
Somewhere. Oh, they hate it.
Like this Patrick Reed McIlroy story, where Reed was trying to say hi to him, and McIlroy wouldn't even acknowledge him, and then reportedly Reed picked the tee out of his pocket and threw it at him, and walked away. Now everyone hates Patrick Reed, so that may not have anything to do with live. Could just be that he's Patrick Reed. But I'm going to confirm that something – I think they need to be careful at Augusta because you're right. They get kicked out and banned. They don't want that. But Sergio, he's got a green jacket. You know he's going to go in there and be a clown.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Reed's got a green jacket. He's going to feel like he can't be touched. So I'm going to confirm it. Confirm it tonight. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the 2023 NX250 signature package from just $328 biweekly. For 39 months, details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Save some confirm and deny for after dark in about an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we want to send you to the Waste Management Open. TSN 1050 wants you to be our unofficial correspondent down in Arizona. And the first caller through right now at 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. With the correct keyword announced this morning on First Up, will win a $100 gift card to Golf Town and qualifies for the grand prize draw. First up with Koronik and Koliakova will be calling our grand prize winner Friday, February 3rd. Full details available at tsn1050.ca. Mike Johnson in about 10 minutes. We will get into the Dak Prescott Dallas Twitter account story.
And I do have a message for you, Brian, that's positive. I have hit the ball right-handed and putted left-handed my whole golf life, 45 years, and there's no one around that's a better putter. That's from my guy Parrish, who has a golf shop on Bloor Street.
Is that right?
Really?
Wow.
45 years, and there's not a better putter around.
Okay. Shout out, Parrish. I love it. See, there's a lot of people in the sending me DMs on Instagram saying, you and I were in the – maybe I need that secret society, right? You got your wands and your dragons and stuff, and I got shoot right, putt
Dude,
left.
It's not dragons. I don't know why you dragged dragons into it. It's not about dragons.
Wizards or what? It's a Harry Potter type of thing.
No, it isn't, dude. It's tactical – it's tactical gear stuff.
You've got a musket and a beard and a suit.
All that good stuff, right? Voldemort, you know, Snape, they're all down there. Everyone gets to play a role. Yeah. Just awesome. Yeah, I'm sure there's the bar play, I'm sure leaving a place like that is probably just flooring it, too. Oh, everyone loves seeing that.
Dude, I'm not talking about Fort York and muskets.
Okay. SWAT teams and buildings.
Yes.
Right? That's what we're talking about. All right.
Yeah.
Final hour coming up. Mike Johnson will join us. Confirm or deny after dark. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.